go on the Friday edition, Mr. Relevant. I am Alex Strofe with you, producing the show. I'm in the control room of the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is not even in the studio yet. Complete mess. Hunter Vaughn's off. Will Summers is off. We are going to have ourselves a Friday as we get ready for Packers-Vikings. Coming up at Lambeau Field on Sunday, the Packers are six-point favorites in that game. But there's a lot of things we need to cover in terms of news surrounding the Packers-Vikings game. Also want to take a look at the next 3 weeks as the Packers have three divisional games coming up over the course of the next 3 weeks, as well as a couple other things. NFL picks we will get to. We have Hunter's picks and Will's picks. We will get myself and Joshy's picks as I still stand alone in first place in the MIA NFL picks through the first 11 weeks. And we, of course, will wrap up the show with What We Missed, which is presented by Door County Distillery. You know, you really sit with chairs low. You know that's a thing about you?
This way.
I'm sorry?
I said, yeah, I like to sit this way.
Okay.
It's more comfortable for me.
Well, I more meant the chair I'm currently in that you've been sitting in all day. It was all the way to the floor.
Yeah.
I'm too tall for that.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
All right. This is weird being this far apart from you. I'm still getting used to this.
Yeah, I don't like looking through you the other way. Sorry, I'm a little later than I anticipated. We sprung a leak in one of the bathrooms, so I needed to try and alert the proper authorities of said leak.
We had a what leak?
There is a stream of water running from under the toilet to under the sink.
Okay, so I got to be honest with you.
You saw it and didn't say anything.
Well, I did. I said something to...
See something, say something.
I did say something to somebody that's a manager, and I said, I don't know who to alert. Who do we alert?
I would imagine the front desk, whoever is stationed there. They will then probably go through the proper channels.
Okay, got it. I could have done that. Are we positive it was water?
Yes, it appears to be
coming from the odor.
It appears to be coming from underneath.
Okay, sure.
Could there be other things involved? Yeah, certainly.
I just figured somebody missed horribly, to be honest with you.
It doesn't seem to be that. That doesn't seem to be the case.
All right, that's good. That's good. All right, well, good to see you, although you are very far away from me. I'm not used to this. I have a bone to pick with you before we get into Packers talk, though. Yeah, so on Wednesday's edition of Mr. Relevant, we didn't address what was apparently the ginormous elephant in the room that I was unaware of at that point. And I think you're a real dick for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a better word than that, to be real honest with you. So my haircut got completely biffed.
A botched job, hack job.
Yeah, hack job, as you were calling it on Tuesday, which we will get to the term hack job in just a moment, because I've been holding this one near and dear since Wednesday. So I went and got my hair cut on Tuesday, and from the front, it looked fine. I was wearing headphones so you couldn't see the sides that well, but one side was much longer than the left side was much longer than the right side. And the back of my head was like a half bowl cut.
It was all time bad haircut. You could probably pull it up there very quickly since it's in the recent downloads and you could flash it on the screen. There's the video from your show from KBN. Yeah. There's also the pictures there too. Yeah, I mean, you got absolutely mangled. All-time bad haircut. It took over the entirety of the conversation throughout the office. I was on multiple text messages about it. People were asking where you were so they could walk by you and see the back of your head.
Yeah, and again, I knew none of this was happening.
Which made it even better. And it was determined, I should say, I was a large catalyst in this because somebody said you need to bring this up to me. Prior to getting to Ben Brust, and I said, we got to save this for KBN. We need to reach maximum velocity, peak audience on this, and really make it into something. And I think we executed the plan to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You've come out on the other side much better for it.
Mm-hmm.
There were some circumstances that were going against you, being your girlfriend is out of the town, so no one to look at the back of your head. And that's just... The simple fact of it. If you watch back Wednesday's show, I don't really make a ton of direct eye contact.
You made like none. And that should have told me something was going on.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of oblivious. And I was in a great mood prior to that on Wednesday. And then I got ambushed on KBN. Yep. I went to a great Clips to get it fixed. It's mostly fixed. It's still not great, but it's better than it was. And prior to that, though, Wednesday, the term hack job.
Yep.
So... We love the fact you were promoted, and you have a new job. What are you giggling at?
I just opened the YouTube chat. Haircut cam, please. You've now become a sideshow to the audience who just want to look at the back of your head. The problem is it's not much to look at, and that's a good thing for you. It's a drastic improvement from what it was when I text the KBN crew, hey, we need that camera moved to behind his head every time he talks. You've graduated past that.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. So you, as in your new position as a boss, you have to do some scheduling around here.
Uh-huh.
And you sent an email on Wednesday afternoon saying, hey, can anybody do this on Saturday?
Uh-huh.
As we determined post-haircut, I have a wedding to attend. Yep. My girlfriend's sister gets married tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And
I actually sent that email on Tuesday, to which you had not responded to, and then I emailed because you were one of many people who did not respond. I sent it again on Wednesday.
So I immediately responded and said, you know, I have a wedding. I can't do it.
Uh-huh.
And then you responded to that email.
I think I said
to not only me, to about 10 other people,
uh-huh,
who had nothing to do with this email.
Correct.
Team. And yep, you said, are you sure you will be invited with that hack job?
Yes.
Yep. So rather than just being like, oh, yeah, my bad, I knew you had a wedding, you roped in 10 other people, mm-hmm, that had nothing to do with anything we were talking about.
Not a soul.
Just to dunk on me.
Yes. Yep. That's called, you know, team morale.
Office. Okay. At my expense?
Yes. Yeah, correct. I mean, you became the punching bag. Everybody was enjoying it.
Here's the issue.
It was a universal.
But here's my issue with that, Joshy. Is, yeah, you just used the term, you became the punching, yep, bag.
Uh-huh.
That's my issue, is I didn't become the punching bag that day. I'm already the punching bag.
Well, you seem to have a gift.
Which is?
And that gift.
This is going to be rude, whatever comes out of your mouth next.
And that gift is to always find yourself on the wrong side of history. I mean, nobody in my 10 years of being here has had a show-stopping, breathtaking haircut like yours. Nobody has ever attempted to run a three-cone or do anything athletic and have it turn out as poorly as your combine did. It's a gift. Now, would you prefer to be on the other end and be getting all-time haircuts that people are like, wow, I really like what you did with your hair? Yeah, that'd be great. Would it be better to watch somebody watch you do a vertical or run a three-cone and go, wow, he was moving, or wow, you can really get up. Yes. I think in your heart of heart, I think now you've seen the results and realize it's probably better for you to be Hall of Fame bad.
See, here's the thing. I don't know that it is. From the terms of like, it will get more views, yes. But does that do anything for me? I don't make more money about it because of it. If that was the case, that'd be great.
No, but maybe people say less mean things about you.
No, I mean, here's the thing, Joshy. I've been me my whole life. So just because I'm doing it in front of cameras and microphones now, that doesn't change. I've always been the one that's been made fun of.
Yeah.
So I'm comfortable living in that space. I'm fine being the punching bag. I just wish it led to something. And I don't know if it led to anything other than more people making fun of me.
Well, we did urge the rest of the marketing consultants, the people who work in sales here who aren't used to our corporate lingo, we did try and find a place for you to maybe find a haircut endorsement. Some place you could go out and say, hey, I got hacked up real bad and needed a fix. So I go XYZ now.
I do need a new place.
That to me is the win.
I probably won't need a haircut for about another 6 weeks. So if we could work on that, uh-huh, pronto, that would be great.
This one from Pete M. in the chat. It's okay, Strofe. I had a boss tell me flat out that I was balding upon seeing me return to the office from a haircut. It was over a decade ago. Had it been 2025, I probably would have gotten her fired.
Fair point by Pete. Pete, I'm curious, though. Are you bald now?
Let's be. It was 10 years ago, and he had a balding spot.
People don't know when to let go, Joshy. I think we have an uncle who has, like, the weird, what do we call that, around the back.
The horseshoe.
Top. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the George Costanza.
So I'd be curious from Pete, what are we rocking these days in terms of...
Follicles. I've suggested, my hair has certainly been thinning for a time now. I've suggested to get it cut and have been urged by other people not to go just straight buzz or extremely short or chrome dome.
Sure.
I've been told there's enough there that it's not, I don't have to do that. So I'm taking their advice, because if it were up to me, it'd be gone by now.
Yeah. Fair point. Hawken chimes in. I may have given Strofe a worse haircut during COVID in college. That's true. Hawken did cut my hair once, and it was atrocious. But I actually don't think it was as bad as what happened on Wednesday.
No. I mean,
you haven't seen it, so you don't know. But it was not great, but it was not that bad.
Yeah, well, the thing that made yours particularly bad was to get what you got, it would have taken somebody with skill. Like, they have to have a core understanding. Like, we all know an at-home haircut. We've seen it. We've lived them. Will shared a picture with us of an all-time bad haircut.
Yeah, that's true.
But those, like that, when you look at Will's, you can see, oh, that was clearly just done by somebody giving it a shot.
Yeah, with like a beard trimmer.
Yours was obvious that somebody with some talent and some experience had attempted. They just screwed you.
Yeah. I think this is a good way to end this conversation before we get to the Packers and some of the big news going on at 12:65 today. Dr. Denver Dan says, this is Strofe's motto. Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive that is youer than you.
That's
Dr. Seuss.
Accurate.
That is kind of my motto.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody meer than me.
Well, no, and you are all the way you. There is no 80% Strofe. You're 100% Strofe 100% of the time.
Which is a good thing, I think.
Sure.
I mean, it might not be enjoyable for you, but I think in totality, it's a good
thing. It's a give or take system with me. We have good days. We have bad days.
I think they're mostly good, personally, but I guess that's mostly up to you.
It's like your opinion, man.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's get to Green Bay. Big news today. We've kind of been awaiting this announcement and mostly expected it yesterday. Because today, I mean, it is a practice in Green Bay, but it's mostly a walkthrough on Fridays. Thursday is a real practice. And we anticipated after a cryptic tweet earlier in the week from Jayden Reed, and by cryptic, I don't mean in a bad way. It's more so a vague tweet. It was just a picture of himself in the Lambeau Field tunnel prior to a game. It was a picture of him in uniform prior to a game. And we kind of, I assume, all of us assumed that meant, oh my goodness, Jayden Reed's back or the practice window is going to open. As he had been catching footballs and kind of getting closer to full-blow practice. Did not practice yesterday. However, his 21-day window to be activated from injured reserve starts today. Jayden Reed practicing in Green Bay today. Now, does that mean he will go Sunday? More than likely, no. Does that mean he will go next Thursday? Potentially. But I would say all things considered, the most likely return date as it stands right now for Jayden Reed is December 7th at Lambeau Field against the Bears. Could that change? Of course it could. Could it get pushed back another week? It sure could. But December 7th, the final of this three-game stretch against divisional opponents, I think all things considered is the most likely return date for Jayden Reed. But Josh, we talked about it a little bit this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I like this receiving core. I don't love this receiving core, especially the current iteration of it. Matthew Golden hasn't been the star-spangled, awesome receiver in his rookie year I think we all expected. Now, could you blame Matt LaFleur for that? Sure, no point. But Matthew Golden just hasn't done anything quite yet, other than exception maybe one game, where he did a ton of stuff that popped off the page. I think we were all expecting him to be the 1,000-yard receiver for the Packers. And then Tucker Kraft goes down, and Jayden Reed goes down earlier in the year. So you're kind of dealing with a group of who's who, and you don't really know what to expect. Christian Watson seemingly in the lead for, okay, he's probably the best receiver that they can expect on the field week after week. But getting a guy like Jayden Reed back would be so huge, in my opinion, Joshy, for this Packers offense and for the quarterback, Jordan Love. Because Jayden Reed, all things considered, right, was their leading receiver each of the last 2 years. He is a guy that has played a significant role on this offense. And when I think about if the Packers can get to that next level, that next echelon of where they belong, where we think they can belong at 6-3-1 in true Super Bowl contenders, I think a guy like Jayden Reed is going to be imperative to that success.
Yeah, I mean, it's encouraging to see him back. It's been a long time since he's been there. He brings back an aspect of the offense that we lost when Tucker Kraft went down, and that's creating after the catch, and that's being sort of a playmaker archetype. It'll be interesting to see how he's deployed and how, once he gets back fully into the swing of things, how they use him and if they predominantly stick him in the slot and leave him there, or if they try and get a little more out of his skill set, because I thought he looked good early this season going down the field and attacking more than we had seen him do in the past. What he excelled at in the past was sort of taking the short stuff and turning it into really long stuff, all through basically breaking tackles and running away from guys and making guys miss.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see if they try and use him more as an actual wide receiver. And that I don't mean that as bad as that sounded. It's just the way they like to use guys is they have pretty specific roles for them. And you could say it probably pigeonholed Jaden Reed towards the end of the last year,
yeah,
where his effectiveness went way down, but that was because teams knew he was pretty much the primary threat to take over a game. So they keyed in on him and they played man coverage, and he struggled at that.
It was the great disappearing act of 2024.
Yes.
I thought he was off to a fine start. It was only, what, 5 quarters, I think, he played prior
to
breaking his
collarbone. Yes, but he was making catches downfield and winning 50-50 balls, which was a new aspect of his game. We'd seen him do it on occasion.
The play he broke his collarbone on.
Yes, impressive. Incredibly impressive. Great throw, great catch.
Might be one of the best this season. Obviously, it didn't count. Yes. I think he was out of bounds, or there was a holding penalty or something. But it was unbelievably, it was a great throw by Love. It was an awesome catch down the sideline by Reed. It's up there probably in the top 5 throws Love has seen this year. And that's something we want to see more of out of Jaden Reed. So I think getting him back and having Watson and having Reed and having Golden and having Dobbs at your disposal, big time stuff for this Green Bay offense who, if we just call it what it is, Joshy, they've sputtered this year. And they could use a playmaker like this guy.
Track us to the bowl, bro.
I like being back here.
I'm allowing for the case to be that we're disappointed with what the rotation ends up being and how these guys are all used effectively. It seems like the Packers like to typecast somebody, and they like to find specific plays for them in the playbook, and that's really the effectiveness of it. I hope the addition of Jaden Reed opens up things for everybody, save for Romeo Dobbs. I've had enough of him. I'm good on that. But what it could also bring to the guys like Matthew Golden and Christian Watson, who I think are both deserving of far more attention and far more usage when it comes to the passing offense.
Mm.
And that, to me, is going to be, hopefully, if you were to make a case, the bringing Jaden Reed back sort of opens up a new dimension and lets everyone flourish in a way they haven't been able to.
Yeah, hopefully. And we will see what the timeline on that is. You agree with me? December 7th, likely, against the Bears?
Yeah. It's a short week next week. I don't think any of, next week is going to be actually, considered a practice.
No, it'll be a walkthrough.
So it'll be hard for him to get any sort of real work in on that.
Well, they'll be back in the building Monday, and that'll be review.
Yep.
Tuesday, likely a walkthrough.
Yep.
And then Wednesday, a walkthrough or no practice, right? Because they have to travel.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll do the classic, we meet in the big ballroom at the hotel, and we do a walkthrough of what we can.
Yeah.
In the big meeting area we have.
The big ballroom.
Yeah, typically that's where they do it.
Is that considered a ballroom at a hotel?
Yeah, I think so. Or just like a convention center.
Yeah. I guess that's dependent on the hotel.
Yeah. But typically it feels like, I feel like I've watched all of those, Hard Knocks and stuff when you see documentaries, and it's a vast open room. It's always carpeted with ornate looking carpeting. That to me feels like, and there's like sconces on the wall.
Now, while I'm back here, I'm going to do Will's duties today.
Okay.
Ornate. Okay. Go ahead. Keep going.
What?
Isn't that a word you just used?
Ornate. Yes. Sconces, do you know what that is?
I'm going to add that to the list.
Love to see how you spell sconces.
S-C-O-N-S-E-S?
C-E. I think it's S-O-N-C-E-S?
That's correct. Yeah, I'll correct it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be Will today. Okay. I don't know how we got on ballrooms and hotels.
Walkthroughs.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Other piece of news I want to get to is the Packers running back, Josh Jacobs, who I don't know what to make of it. Left Sunday's game against the Giants, last Sunday's game against the Giants in the second quarter. It sounds more like a thigh contusion and a bruise, knee bruise, is what it's being defined as.
Yeah, I mean, he described it as doing, he described it as being a result of the cement field that they played on in MetLife. So it would make sense that you would, if you land particularly hard on your knee, it would lead to bruising that I'm sure carried up into the thigh as well. But I mean, we've all been kids. We've all played on playgrounds and we've all fallen and hit the ground and it's never been fun.
It's true.
Playing on the blacktop. So I think the best move is to have him sit, get him ready for Denver. Jeez. Detroit.
Looking way ahead.
Yeah. Get ready for Detroit. It doesn't seem like there's a huge risk of like any re-injury because it's a bruise. That's what it is. But it seems like you want him for the long haul. It'll probably best suit him to get an extra week to get healthy because he's already been dealing with nagging stuff.
Yeah, right.
And you feel pretty good about beating a team like the Vikings in their current iteration.
Is anything a guarantee, though?
No, of course not.
I mean, and it seems to be the popular opinion, but I'm gonna take my Josh DiMaggio victory lap on this one. I feel like I've told you all year, there's no great team. And if you need another example, look at last night, right? Buffalo goes to Houston and loses. It feels like this year more than other years, especially this late as we enter week 12, the cream isn't really rising to the top.
I think there are great teams. We're just reticent to accept who they are.
So I guess tell me who you view as a great team. The Los Angeles Rams, I would imagine, is the first team that comes to mind.
Yep. I would think the 9-2 Patriots have to be.
So let's get to them in Denver in a moment. I want to stay with the Rams for a second. Because even in a game like last week, which they win against Seattle, Sam Darnold threw four picks in that game. And they had to watch a game-ending field goal get missed in order to win.
Yep.
So, and Seattle, I agree, is a good team who can overcome, apparently, or almost overcome in this case, a four-interception game from their quarterback. So, is Seattle on that list of good teams, really good teams, teams that you would not be surprised to see in the Super Bowl?
They're contender, not elite.
Okay. Do you put the Packers in the same category as Seattle, then?
Yes.
Okay. I tend to agree with you on that. Let's go to those other two teams that have amazing records in the AFC. New England and Denver. I have the same issue with both of them, and I imagine you can guess what that is.
Quarterbacks?
Not even that. It's more so just flat-out inexperience. Yeah. And it does apply to the quarterback position of Drake May and Bo Nix. But I think it's – but again, this is such a wide-open year where maybe inexperience – this is the year where New England can rip off a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I mean the probably one of the best teams also in the NFL, and their quarterback having a haywire couple days – it's the Colts. The Colts are a top 10 roster in all the NFL.
And I think this is a good week for that to figure out how legitimate it is. They go to Kansas City. Kansas City is favored in that game. Coming off the bye week, by the way, for Indianapolis as well. So they had the opportunity to get a little bit healthier. I guess the AFC is just a little confusing because it's a bunch of teams maybe you didn't expect. I think we all expected New England to turn it around under Mike Vrabel, right? But I don't know if we expected what we're seeing from New England.
Well, it's pretty easy to diagnose. They have an MVP at quarterback.
Right. And will it last, though? Right?
Because I think until the playoffs, yes.
Yes. Okay.
I feel like every young quarterback, aside from save like a handful of out-of-the-norm cases, once you get to the playoffs, you say, oh, yeah, there's the second-year player or there's the rookie. That's the type of thing teams in the playoffs are going to be able to do.
I just thought this thought was interesting, and then we can move on to some of the other teams we maybe consider contenders. But I was listening to NFL Daily with Greg Rosenthal last night, and somebody made the comment of, you know, this year, the NFL schedulers, you know, they find their young up-and-coming team that's their darling, and then they fall flat on their face. This year it was the Commanders, who I know are the oldest team in the league, but it seemed like their run had just begun with Jaden Daniels at quarterback. And now they're on all these national games and overseas games, and we just are forced to watch them, and they're no good this year. And the thought was that could be Drake May and the Patriots next year, which I disagree with, but I thought it was an interesting thought.
I think it's a misapplication of a thing that I think is mostly accurate. last year I was talking about how old and slow the Commanders were.
And they got older and slower this offseason.
And it was just, it was the Jaden Daniels show is what happened. I mean, their offense outside of Jaden Daniels playing hero ball was insufferable to watch. Insufferable. Zach Ertz was getting tons of targets. Austin Ekeler was carrying the ball way too much. Like, it wasn't a good offense. They just had one guy playing out of his skull for, you know, three games of the postseason. And that was the difference maker.
So you bring up offenses that are kind of insufferable to watch, and this would be a team that has beaten the Packers within the last few weeks with a great record, who also happens to be the reigning Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to watch the Eagles, despite being 8-2.
Don't watch them.
But I don't know how... Are they legit? I mean, they're the reigning Super Bowl champions. You have to throw them in there.
They are as legit as Nick Sirianni can keep the team together. He managed to do it last year because they had some of these exact same concerns. They just had more losses, which I think is a problem. Last year, I believe they lost a few games to start the season.
They did.
And now they have so much talent, and they can drag you down into an absolute gutter war, the ugliest game ever, and that team's going to come out on top most of the time. A.J. Brown can't stop running his mouth, which might come to an head at some point, but he has not hesitated to say the quiet stuff out loud at any point.
That's true. So, all right. So I guess I'm on board with Rams, Eagles, Patriots, Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos to me are... They're probably the one I believe in the least.
I would agree.
I think their head coach is a bit of a phony, and Bo Nix is a guy...
Not a Sean Payton guy.
No. Oh, God. Get that guy out of here.
Remember how they made a movie about him?
Yeah, he's...
Who played him again? Was it Kevin James?
He's been able to distance himself from Bountygate way more than I think he's deserving of. And he had an all-time great quarterback, and the Saints didn't achieve much.
They won one.
One, yeah.
And I don't think they never got back.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between him and Mike McCarthy? One guy having a smaller waistline? Because that's what it feels like.
All right. Yeah, we're out on the Chiefs for now.
I mean, you have to be. They still have a path to the playoffs.
And if they get there, you can't rule them out. They're the Kansas City Chiefs.
All time, if they're a 7 seed playing a 2 seed, that team is going to be horrified of the Chiefs coming into their home field.
Yeah, of course.
That's going to be quite the number.
I struggle with who's real and who's fake and who's maybe flying under the radar and I guess the overall point here is I have no idea how good anybody is, which is why it shouldn't be viewed, to go back to our Josh Jacobs conversation, it shouldn't be viewed as this is a gimme. You can definitely beat this team. You've lost each of your last 2 games at home, including one to Carolina. And I know J.J. McCarthy has not had a good start to his NFL career. He's played, what, maybe 3 good quarters, 4 good quarters?
I think applying that to every other team in the same way we've seen it towards the Packers is probably unfair. I think the Packers' lows have been lower than some of those other contenders' lows. They're in close games with teams they shouldn't be, and they're losing to, I mean, two of the worst teams in all the NFL. That's plain and simple. So what I'm supposed to do with that is think that their floor seems to be lower. Despite me probably thinking their ceilings are much the same.
Yeah. It's a good point. I mean, they have talent all over. The Vikings do. The biggest question mark for them is, what does Will always call him? 9? His alter ego?
Yeah, the biggest question for them is, do they have the worst starting quarterback that's not named Shador Sanders? That's the question. Because
that was a strain.
My God, has he been bad?
Yeah,
his level of inaccuracy is concerning.
Yeah, if the Packers want to be the team they claim to be in the offseason and training camp in the preseason by installing a turnover siren in their defensive meeting room, Sunday better bring some turnovers for Green Bay. You got to pick off J.J. McCarthy. He is turnover prone, and they're going to let him throw the football because when you have an offense with Justin Jefferson, Jay Jettas, and Jordan Addison on it, you got to throw the freaking football.
Yeah.
And McCarthy has thrown an interception in every game he's played this year.
Uh-huh.
So you better get at least one, if not two, if not three on Sunday and prove to us that this we know this defense is good. We know it's good. Packers defense.
If Kevin O'Connell wants to be serious, they break out the wishbone and they break out the read option.
Woof. If he wants to be serious.
Because you ain't winning games with him dropping back and trying to be a quarterback. Not the guy. Not the guy.
Yeah.
Could I see him piecemealing together like a 160-yard stat line, one passing touchdown, just simply based off of Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison's talents? Yeah, sure. But he is an NFL quarterback. At some point, there has to be a breaking point. But he's going... The problem with him, he misses so bad, it's hard for teams to intercept. I mean, he's sailing balls or throwing them in the dirt. You almost have to be out of position.
That's where you need X, though, right? Like, that's yes. where McKinney comes into play.
Let me tell you, they got a big plan for him and Evan Williams. Hey, if you think the ball is supposed to be going to Justin Jefferson 5 yards ahead of you, I wouldn't hate you sticking around. Maybe he sails it over his head. Because I watched him last week throw multiple balls that weren't within like 5 yards of the intended receiver. That's a problem. Big problem.
Well, I mean, I think it was you I was talking to off the air a little bit. Like, J.J. McCarthy threw the ball 10 times in a national championship game.
Maybe there were signs that the best team in college football didn't trust their quarterback to throw the ball.
And, I mean, the knock on him was he couldn't throw outside the numbers.
Yes. He can't throw left either. Left is a big bugaboo.
So, why are we taking him in the first round?
Well,
and I know it was the draft, and it was quarterback heavy in the first.
You
want to
know why?
Picks.
I could probably tell you why. Want to guess who was probably a better interview than most of the other quarterbacks in that draft?
J.J. McCarthy.
Want to know who talks about having an alter ego and would fit into like the? Imagine how dumb football coaches are with their approach to like personality and behavior, and like imagine what an easy sell that is for a guy like J.J. McCarthy.
Good point by you. Yeah.
He comes with the pedigree of winning. They love to say, well, he's a winner. Well, yeah, everyone else was two on that roster.
Yeah.
They didn't ask him to do a lot.
No.
And when you don't ask a guy to do a lot and then you do, this is the result. He talked about having to relearn the position. What does that even mean?
Yeah, you probably got a better guess than me. Probably got a better guess than me. All right. Josh Jacobs, yes or no? On Sunday.
I think it's a no.
I do, too. I think they save him for Thursday. Let Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks run the show and get back to it on Thursday. I mean, it's a short week, right? Like, it's Friday. We got two big-time games the Packers do over the course of the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Does this game for you Sunday against Minnesota, like, I know they're the worst team in the division. I think we can all agree on that. They also have the worst quarterback play in the division. Might not be a coincidence. But I still have a big game feel for this one. And I don't think it's me looking ahead and getting antsy about this Detroit game on Thanksgiving that I know we are all entirely way too excited about, because that is going to be a huge, 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 huge game for ultimately how the season ends for the Packers. But I've got a big game feel for Sunday as well against Minnesota. Divisional football obviously feels different. It brings a little bit of a different feel. And you need a win, man. If you're Green Bay, you need a win. Get to 7-3-1. Stay at the top of the division race, and come Thursday, if you win that thing, you're in first place all by yourself.
I think it was on Wednesday's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we brought up the stats that a win against the Vikings improves the Packers' chances of making the playoffs to 81%.
Wow.
Not only just adding a win, but also what it would mean for the division. You have the two games in hand right away. The first two you played would be massive for determining
it's
the
season. More than they won all year last year, by the way.
And how that goes. And if they lose, they drop, I believe, all the way down to 53%.
Wow.
And I might be misquoting. I know it's low 50s in that one. So it is an important game. And the one thing to go to sort of add to what you're saying there is, you see the audio that gets sent around here from all the pressers of the players. Every single player has been asked about the importance, and they all said these next three games are extremely important and will dictate a lot of how the season ends up going. So that means they're treating it as a big game in Lambeau. More so than just it's a division rival, it's a we need to prove ourselves and we need to win these games if we want to be in the playoffs and leading the NFC North.
You go 2-1, I think you win the division. You go 1-2 or 0-3, I think you're looking maybe at the outside of the playoffs. 1-2, obviously, then it comes down to those last few games.
1-2, you have a path. 0-3, put a fork in them.
Yep.
It's Connor Bedard season.
Look who's back in. You're back in a little bit.
I'm back in terms of this is what I have to talk about. Do I think this team is going to figure it out and be an actual Super Bowl contender like I had hoped? No. I think to me right now, they are a one-and-done team in the playoffs, and I'm excited if they make the second weekend.
I allow you to diagnose me because you're better at it than just about everybody else. I'm still holding out hope it can click.
You
is that just me as an optimist, or is that a realistic football take?
I think it's a half a cup of each.
Okay.
I think if I went really hard at you after the Packers got mathematically eliminated, I could convince you that they could actually make it through some act of God if I went at it hard enough, because that's how much you always believe your team can do what you want them to.
Yes and no. If they were mathematically eliminated, I think I would just be awful. Because as we started the show with, you know, there's nobody youer than you. You're right. I will hold out hope. But also, I do take into account the way this team's constructed and some of the pieces they have. Now, again, I think losing Tucker Kraft was a massive, massive hit. I think their Super Bowl chances took a massive hit when Tucker Kraft went out for the season. But I'm still a Jordan Love believer. I'm still a Josh Jacobs believer. And damn it, I'm still a Matt LaFleur believer. Even though this has been, I think we could agree, his worst year yet.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not even particularly close. 2022,
in
maybe.
In terms of expectations.
2022. Rodgers last year.
As a Rodgers, as the most honest man about Aaron Rodgers, I knew what was happening there.
Josh was right yet again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember how they made everyone believe they were actually going to make the playoffs? I remember laughing at people in the offense.
Sometimes you gotta run the, you know.
Did I say in the offense? I meant in the office. I remember laughing at them. Like, they just gotta win and then. Yeah. This team with Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard is going to go and play Detroit and beat them? Come on.
Josh DiMaggio on Twitter, 9:43 p.m., November 10th, 2025. Say it with me now.
The season is over. Or the season's over? Season's over?
Season's over.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen nothing to make me believe. And when I say season's over, I'm talking about the Super Bowl.
What if they...
Because to me, making the playoffs does nothing.
What if they rattle off the next two? They win over Minnesota Sunday. They go to Detroit and win.
Another win over Detroit will have me thinking, maybe I rushed to a judgment. And I'd be happy to admit that.
Oh, boy.
But with how I've seen this Packers team play, I don't think, and I think it's probably a good measure for all of us, to not get too excited, even if they get an impressive win.
I want to give a scheduling note and also hash out a scheduling note because I keep forgetting to ask you about something.
Okay.
We are on normal schedule next Monday, Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Next Friday is a company holiday.
Uh-huh.
And Marquette plays, so I have the day off. However, I would still like you and I, in some capacity, to do a podcast only, audio only, edition of Mr. Relevant. Maybe not an hour long, but to recap Packers, Lions in some capacity. It could be 20 minutes. It could be 30 minutes. I do want to talk to you after that game, one way or another.
You do understand the difference maybe in my day and yours on Friday?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I'll be here starting at 5 a.m. and going on till at least noon. Potential, I will be even having to stay after if I get nobody who wants to produce the game. I'm going to have very limited time is what I'm telling you.
So you're avoiding me?
No, I'm not avoiding. Hey,
chat. Is he avoiding
me? If you would like to come in here on Friday, Black Friday, while nobody else is in the office but me, feel free.
I will not be in town.
Yeah, well, isn't that something?
Yeah, that's what happens when you get promoted, buddy.
This has nothing to do with promotion, by the way.
Well, it does do a point.
No.
If you weren't promoted, I don't think it falls on you.
They always say we want people who asked on. I didn't ask on Friday.
I was told.
Yeah. And I'll be here, and I'll do my damnedest and put on a good performance.
With or without Josh, we will break down the Packers-Lions game next Friday in some capacity, podcast only.
What?
So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Go ahead.
We can talk logistically. I was saying, is there an opportunity for us to do it maybe? And Thanksgiving's not a good idea.
Oh, I'll be drunk.
As I say, I'll be having some cocktails.
I'll just be flat out honest with you. Yeah, I'll be intoxicated.
I won't be drunk since I have to be here at 5 a.m., but I'll certainly be indulging in a couple cocktails.
Well, so I'm doing Green Bay Game Day 9 to noon.
Yep.
I am doing that remote. Thanksgiving's on right at noon.
Yeah.
And that means first old fashions in my hand at noon.
Yeah.
So that's that. All right. Let's get to our NFL picks, shall we? I do not have the records in front of me, although I'm sure I could find them. Came in a little loud. Sorry about that. Not used to running the show and hosting it.
I forgot what my pick is. I got to go check that.
Okay. You work on that.
I mean, the other guy's boring, same picks.
Yeah, naturally. And I believe they're also tied, aren't they?
I believe so. I believe I'm one game back from them in the standings. They are tied, and then they are one game back from you.
Hmm.
So two total games separate first and last place.
So any week could be the week. We will start with you are in last place, so you have to start.
Oh, well, that's... I'm taking Packers. That one to me seems...
That's going
to
be unanimous.
Yeah, we are all going to pick that one. I'm going to go with an interesting one here, and I know it's unlikely. This team's going to have no Drake London and no Michael Penix.
Oh, boy.
But I'm going to take the Falcons over the Saints because I think the Saints are
doo-doo.
Very, very bad. And, hey, the Falcons have – they're a three-win team, so they ain't a whole lot better. And Kirk Cousins has looked awful, but nobody for the Saints has looked really any better to me. So I'm going to take the Falcons sort of in one of those not totally surprising wins, yeah. But this is a week that doesn't have a ton of options. There's a lot of big spreads. A
lot of big spreads.
Like, is anybody going to say, oh, yeah, Shedeur Sanders and the Browns are going to go into Oakland, Las Vegas, and beat that team? No. There's a 13-point spread, a 12-point spread, a 7-point spread. If you want to believe in Aaron Rodgers, have at it. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Yeah, I'm between two. I'll get to my picks in a moment. Real quick, though, you mentioned Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
If you're the Vikings, who would you rather have at quarterback this year, Kirk Cousins or J.J. McCarthy?
I think I take my lumps with J.J. McCarthy and hope something can turn around for him. Kirk Cousins is what he – I mean, he's been bad when he's been asked to play. I also think there's more to the Kirk Cousins stories. I know he gives the affable. He dresses in Kohl's.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as liked as maybe –
No, I don't think in locker rooms he is.
Yeah. They certainly celebrated around him when they were having a lot of fun and he was wearing the chains.
And they were winning.
But some of the stuff around him and some of the demands he's made throughout his career of his team, I don't think his teammates really like that portion of him.
That may be the case. I can't say I'm a subject matter expert
I can't imagine he was super chill and cool about Michael Penix being drafted when he signed with the Falcons.
Well, he signed a massive contract, so he better be cool. But I would imagine you're correct.
Yeah.
All right. Will and Hunter both have the same picks, despite being tied. So no matter what happens this week, they will still be tied. They each have the Packers. And they each are picking the Dallas Cowboys to upset the Philadelphia Eagles.
I see a pick I like more.
Eagles 3.5-point favorites. You did this last week, and we ruled that the chess piece left your hand.
I just want to say it for peace of mind. This is a sneaky one. I like the Cardinals to beat the Jaguars.
Mm.
Jacoby Brissett just completed the most passes in the history of the sport. Mm. And the Jaguars love to lose games they shouldn't.
The good news for me is I'm not a theft. I'm not a thief. I'm not a thief.
I'm not a theft.
I'm not a thief, so I'm not going to steal that from you. You said something before. If you want to believe in Aaron Rodgers, by golly, that's your prerogative. I think this is like the fourth time I've done this year, by the way.
How many times has it worked?
Once. But it's the Bears. And it's in Chicago. And it's Aaron Rodgers going to Chicago. And look, Josh, I know he's not the quarterback he once was. But what does Aaron Rodgers do better than just about any planet on the earth?
Yep, any planet on the earth. Eloquently stated. The great American orator.
What does Aaron Rodgers do better than just about any person on the earth?
You're phrasing a weird question for an answer that, to me, is just he plays his best football against the Chicago Bears.
Not the answer, actually. But I'm going to get there.
Are you sure? So far, it's been tough going. It's tough sledding here.
He holds grudges.
Okay.
And he thrives off doubt. And he thrives off booze.
Who's doubted him?
You!
No, I'm saying in relation to Chicago.
Oh, well, I don't know about doubting him, so but they're going to boo
this
him.
This is more of a holistic.
And they're
going to
say he's washed, and they're going to say he's old.
I've got a take. The best quarterback and the best head coach in this game both live in Chicago.
Disagree.
And I don't think the quarterback's that good.
I actually disagree on both.
Oh, please. Mike Tomlin's a mediocre merchant. Mediocrity merchant.
I've got the Packers and the Steelers. Just like Super Bowl 45. Those are my NFL picks. Those are our NFL picks.
I didn't have juice for this game. I now do because I want to root it. First of all, I want to get back out of last place. And I want to see Aaron Rodgers lose to the Chicago Bears. And the sweet, sweet... Imagine what it would be like in Chicago after the I own you, I still bleep and own you. And then they go in and just mollywop that team. If he plays. We don't even know for sure.
We don't even know if he's going to play. So... I can't change my pick. Hot take? I don't think Mason Rudolph's beating the Bears.
I would have some reservations
about
that.
Just a hot take, though. Just a hot take.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, he's got the Packers and the Falcons. Will and Hunter, same picks. They've got the Packers and the Cowboys. And for the third or fourth time this season, I'm going with the Packers and the Steelers in our Week 12 NFL picks. A reminder, the loser of this challenge, season long, will spend Wild Card Weekend at Will Summers' apartment. Or if Will loses... He will cook me, Josh, and Hunter. No, I take that back. He will spend a weekend at Hunter's apartment with his wife. Mm-hmm. Hunter and his wife. Mm-hmm. I phrased that horribly. Mm-hmm. He will spend a weekend at Hunter and his wife's apartment.
You're
with
having
Hunter
a tough talking day.
In my defense.
Oh, here we go.
I didn't sleep much last night.
In my excuse,
I did not sleep much last night. And I got up earlier today to join you on Jim
Why
Jim
didn't you sleep?
I couldn't sleep. My girlfriend was gone again. I struggle when my girlfriend's gone. I struggle to fall asleep. Dude,
I sleep like a baby.
Let me get to that and what we missed, which is presented by Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Elevate your Thanksgiving, your Friendsgiving, which I know Josh is really excited for, and all the in-betweens with Door County Distillery.
Clean the bathroom tonight. We might need some Door County Distillery to get through that.
Whiskeys, brandies, rums, gins, all the in-betweens, vodkas. Some of which are infused with their Door County cherries. Of course, Door County famous for their cherries. Pick it up. Let's elevate the weekend. Let's elevate the Friendsgiving. Let's elevate Thanksgiving with brandy or whiskey for your old fashions from Door County Distillery. Visit their website, doorcountydistillery.com. Find the retailer nearest you. So I have a confession to make. I am unbelievably codependent.
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody who's spent enough time around you would probably recognize that.
Yeah.
I'm remarkably independent.
See, I'm fine independent for a while.
Hit a breaking point? Where the hell was your girlfriend last night? Wasn't she just out of town?
Yeah, she was out of town until Wednesday. Came home Wednesday night, fell asleep in like 90 minutes, and then I woke up and she left yesterday. Her sister's getting married tomorrow, as I mentioned, so she's a bridesmaid. So it was like
responsibilities.
Nails and spray tans yesterday. They've got set up for the rehearsal dinner tonight, today. So I'm heading up after, towards the end of KBN. I'm jetting out a little bit earlier today, straight to the rehearsal dinner. I'm going to look good, though, Joshy. I'm going to look good.
Well, now that your hair doesn't look like the mangled mess of 2026.
25.
Yep, that's the one. The haircut heard around the world.
Yeah, so.
The hack job.
I'd be curious from the MIA, when your spouse is gone, do you struggle to fall asleep? Because I feel like most people will be where you are, Joshy.
I don't struggle to fall asleep. I struggle to stay asleep because I'll wake up and notice the usual, there's not a dog at my legs and there's not a person next to me.
Where's the dog go?
Oftentimes when my girlfriend goes out of town, the dog does too because I'm here for, I don't know, 11 hours. Which is not, and we crate our dogs. So crating a dog for 11 hours during the day would not be something I would think was nice.
Fair.
Typically, we top out around 5-6 hours.
Why do you crate? You don't trust them roaming the old house?
It's better for dogs long term, especially the type of dog we have, which is like a working dog and super motivated. He'll probably graduate out of it in the near future. Right now, we are very alert of every squirrel, every bunny, and every person walking by. So I imagine that would be not nice for the upstairs neighbors who would have to be listening to him bark.
Every squirrel, every moving person.
That's
good. That's good. All right. I've got two words. And since we implemented the new rule for Will, I'm going to follow the rule. I didn't Google these. I just wrote them down. First word was ornate. I think context clues tell me something that's bland or obscure.
I want you to Google this one. And
also, can we just acknowledge what I said? Bland or obscure?
Yes, doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, nope.
But I want you to Google this word and then realize what's happening here.
Okay. Ornate definition. Here we go. I did spell it correctly. Oh, boy.
Means the exact opposite of what you tried to describe.
Made in an intricate shape or decorated with complex patterns.
Uh-huh.
For example, that ballroom at the local hotel has an ornate carpeting design. I don't know if that worked either.
Yeah.
The next word I have no
idea. This is making me realize that there must be a lot of times where I'm talking to you, and I think you at least get the context clues, and you actually have the opposite idea of what
I'm
saying.
Well, you said something about an ornate pattern at a ballroom, and like I said bland or obscure because carpeting at a hotel is typically obscure. It's weird, like weird patterns, but also semi-bland.
I'm describing like something that is made to look like a Persian rug where it has designs and there's, you know, a lot going on.
Okay, the other word I wrote down, I have no idea what it means. I don't even know what context you said it in. I heard you say the word.
It was the same thing.
Sconces?
Yes.
I thought that's what they called people from the state of Wisconsin.
No.
Sconces, other than Wisconsinites.
A sconce. You probably have some of these in your apartment. They typically attach to the wall.
Photos? Sconce. Artwork? That's about all I have on the wall. Do they hold vinyl records?
Nope.
Those are the only things on my walls.
What other things typically go on walls?
Mirrors.
Okay, not quite.
Frames.
Nope. Think things that aren't removable.
Not removable? What goes on the wall that's not removable?
I mean, you can remove it, much like you can remove pretty much anything. They also, these things also appear on ceilings.
Oh, a fan.
I don't know how you've managed to guess everything but what it is.
Lights?
Yes. A wall-mounted lighting fixture.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh. So when I'm talking about ballrooms and ornate,
but that's more chandelier-esque, no?
No, they'll have sconces because a sconce isn't made to be like a primary light. It is made to be more like an ambient lighting.
A more
mood typed bait.
Sure.
You're not going to light a room to do work in with a sconce. It's decorative and going to sort of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what? Pat on the back to me. That adds up.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Uh huh.
Well, that will do it for us today.
That was a tough one for you.
I do not envy Will as much as I make fun of him.
Strofe, come on. You nailed the exact opposite, says Hawken Sager. Did I say something bad there? I don't know.
Well, you said his first and last name, so no.
Okay. I didn't know if that was one of those words you put together, like the guy who famously, I'm trying to think of the name that took me a long time. You know, when you say something, put it together, and it means another thing. There's a famous Twitter account. Homer once read his name. Oh, Barry, the guy who goes by Barry, and his last name starts with an M.
I kind of want to say it, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, let's not.
Homer said it on the air once.
Sure did.
That's sweet.
Took my breath away.
Final score from the Virgin Islands. Yale 73, Green Bay 67. 6-point loss for the Phoenix.
Tough.
Only win of the year, still over a D2 score. A D3 score? What's ripping?
Three.
Oh, boy. Although close. Another close one. They're going to get a win eventually.
Well, yeah.
Might just take a while. All right. That will do it for us. We're back with
you
Monday.
That's my name, not a Kahoot name joke.
Oh, Kahoot. We should play an MIA Kahoot one time.
No. I don't trust these savages.
Be back with you Monday, 12:30. Central ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. And, of course, if you missed any of the show or if you ever miss our show live, you can find it commercial-free as always. ESPN Wisconsin app, Apple Podcast, Spotify. Just search Mr. Relevant. Will be the first result that pops up. Joshy, good job today. How'd you think I produced?
Fairly well. A C+.
All right, I'll take it. We'll talk to you on Monday. Go Pack. Green Bay Game Day starts at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Live from Green Bay. If you're going to be there, make sure you stop by the white picket fence just outside of Lot 1 and say what's up. Would appreciate that. Enjoy the weekend. Make decent decisions. We will talk to you on Monday. I need to find where the music is. We're going down quickly to a C-.
I'm out of here.